Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This episode of the Human Technology Podcast deals one more time with automated or autonomous driving. This time with a very strong focus on the HMI issues connected to the different levels of autonomous driving. So I will discuss the levels that we have. I will describe them in a short way. And then I will have a look at the single levels and discuss what HMI issues we will experience in cars when we have the levels of autonomy or automation implemented. In the beginning, a little background, some definitions. The first thing is automated versus autonomous driving. I used to mix them up, use them more or less equally. And I had to learn that in both in German and in English, this is not true. So I will try to be straight and I will try to be 100% correct with this. I cannot promise that I may not use them in the wrong way, but automated means that something is automated, that there is a task sharing between human and machine, in this case between driver and rolling robot. And autonomous means fully automated, so that there is definitely no interaction or an extremely limited interaction of the then passenger and the rolling robot is required. So automated describes different levels of automation, and autonomous means fully automated, fully self-driving, no interference with the driver, no intervention of the driver with the vehicle is required. Second thing, the levels I'm using are based on the SAE definition. The SAE is the Society of Automotive Engineers. It's a US-American organization that, is a society of engineers that work in automotive. And as comparable organizations all over the world, they also bring out standards, they bring out norms, they write recommendations, so that as an engineer, you have an orientation. And these organizations like the SAE are highly respected amongst the engineering guys, but also in the legal and political community. So what they say has a certain level of seriousness, has a certain level of reliability. And so we just believe in what these guys tell us. And so I will use the SAE definition of levels in autonomous driving. This, first of all, is because it is a more or less globally accepted definition of autonomous driving. So if you go out and talk to someone in the automotive industry and say, hey, this car has a level 2 automation, then most people will know without explicitly saying what it means or that it is the SAE definition I'm referring to. It's just the common understanding that we have in the community. So this is the main reason why I say, okay, the SAE definition of levels of autonomous driving is the one I am using. There are others out there, of the VDI in Germany, for example. I think the European Union has one. They are all somehow similar, and they all discuss the relationship between human and machine, between the rolling robot and the human, and it always describes who is doing what on different levels of automation. So if you have a low automation, more tasks are to be done by the human. And if you have a high level of automation, more tasks are done or performed by the machine. And this differentiation in automation, or this concept of levels describing the distribution of tasks, that is similar in any kind of automation, whether it's aviation, whether it's machine, and or if it's automotive. And so it makes sense to have these levels. It makes sense to have one common definition to discuss it. And again, there are others out there, but I'm using the definitions, the level definitions of the SAE, the Society of Automotive Engineers. So let's start with level zero. Footnote: many believe that the SAE defines 5 different levels, which is not true. It actually defines 6 different levels, because there is a level zero as well. And as the name says, level zero means that there is no automation in the driving, which for many reasons is true, but also not fully true. If you have a look back in history, in automotive history, in the early 20th century, the cars were totally different from what they are today. And I think hardly any one of us, including myself, we will not be able to drive any of the cars built in 1910, 1920, because many things that are automated today, for example, the ignition or the starting of an engine, all that was manual at that time. So if you add automatic gearboxes and electric window lifters, you can see that many things in the cars, in the automotive world, are already automated. Some things we do not need to take care about, or where just the button press is okay to start, or sufficient to start a complex process. So we're having different things we have automated in the past in cars. What we are talking about here is the core driving process, basically meaning keeping a car on the road, keeping a car away from crashing into others, steering it, saying, okay, I will need to turn right at the next junction, and then you make a right at the next junction. So it's the core driving process that gets automated these days, and all these levels of automation, they circle around this core driving process. So level zero, zero automation. Level one means that one dimension of the driving task is automated, either lateral or longitudinal. Means either it's lane keeping, you will know these lane keeping assistant systems that you have in many cars on the roads today. So that's the lateral control, left, right. Or you have the longitudinal control, which is performed by a computer or by the machine, by the car, which means keeping the distance and keeping the speed, keeping the distance to cars ahead and keeping the speed of my car. And you will know these cruise controls, these automated cruise controls that have integrated distance measuring, usually with a radar or with infrared or with whatever technologies, camera technologies, that allow you to set a certain speed, for example, 65 miles or 110 kilometers per hour. And if a car in front of you is slower than that, your own car slows down and keeps a constant distance that is usually measured in seconds. So you can choose between 1, 1.5, 2 seconds in many systems. But anyway, the car is keeping the distance to the car ahead if it goes slower than your selected speed. So this is level one automation, either lateral or longitudinal. Level two means that two dimensions of the driving are automated, lateral and longitudinal. So you can turn on the system and basically the car is driving by itself. This driving is limited to selected driving contexts, for example, only on the highway or only on roads with lane marks or only on roads that have a special infrastructure. This is one thing you have to keep in mind in level two, and the other one, the more important one as far as the relationship between human and vehicle is concerned, is that a constant human monitoring of the vehicle is required. So the job of the human is the surveillance of the rolling robot, and this needs to be performed constantly. You may know this electric vehicle company out of the USA. They are communicating their level 2 system, and it is a level 2 system, as some kind of autopilot, which refers to level 4 and level 5. But de facto, it is a level 2 system. Which means, and somewhere in the footnotes and in a contract you sign when you buy one of these cars, it will probably say that you have to keep constant monitoring, that you have to monitor the vehicle constantly when you use this so-called autopilot. So level two, two dimensions are controlled by the machine, but constant human monitoring is required. Level 3 is basically like level 2, but, and that is the big difference, the driver is allowed to withdraw from the driving task for a limited and for a defined period of time, but you're allowed to grab your smartphone, check your mails, maybe read a book or a magazine, or Some car makers even rotate the seats 10 degrees, 15 degrees to the inner so that you have a better conversation. There are different things out there. Some of them make sense. Some of them are nonsense. But it is possible to go out of the control loop when you are driving on level 3. The nasty thing is that you have to return to the control loop within a short time frame, which means a few seconds. And the general agreement inside the automotive industry at the moment is 3 seconds, 4 seconds, maybe 5 seconds. That is the time that we can give the driver to return into the loop on level 3. And also, like on level 2, the automation can only be activated if all conditions are met. Roads with lane marks, dry roads, no snowy roads, whatever may be required for a level 3 automation that needs to be matched before you can turn on the system. Level 4 is basically like level 3, but the time that you have to return into the control loop is more like several minutes. So there are a few use cases that you can imagine. For example, you drive to a beach and you drive there level 4 automated. The car drives you to a certain point on a highway. And then for the last half a mile, maybe on a gravel road, which is not digitized, you can take over and drive manually to the beach where you want to go to. So these are scenarios, and the car knows it and lets you know, all right, there is an end of the infrastructure that I know in 10 minutes. Please be prepared to take over in 10 minutes. Plus the fact that the number of contexts in which the vehicle drives independently is significantly higher than on level 3. And then finally, we have level 5, which is then autonomous driving. No driver intervention is required. All driving actions are carried out by the rolling robot alone. Question here is this realistic? For me, level 5 is, I am somewhere in the United States in location A and I want to go to location B, wherever it is in North America, and I can drive there without any intervention. Same goes for Europe. I am in Portugal and I want to travel up to Finland, and there is nothing that could ever happen in between these two locations, and I can drive, I can be driven there by the rolling robot. And I discussed the issue with an engineer, a leading engineer from one of the big German car makers, and he thinks that level 5 is more philosophical issue, more philosophical level that we have, because there will always be scenarios and use cases when you need to have an external intervention to move the car. And if it's only if the car breaks down or has a flat tire and it needs to be pulled up to a truck to be transported somewhere else, then already there is an external intervention. So big question is, will we reach level 5 at all? It is realized in some contexts already in enclosed premises of companies or exhibition grounds, or is it more a philosophical target that we have and that we want to go for? All the 6 levels that I have described have an influence on the interaction between driver and vehicle, and with that on the HMI, the human machine interface, the way the relationship is organized and the way the relationship is turned into technology. So let's run through the levels, the 6 levels that I just introduced. Level 0, traditional car. I mean, go out, take a seat in a car that has no level 1 or 2 automation. This is what we had in the past 100 years. We have a steering wheel, we have a set of paddles, we may have a gear stick, we have all the instruments showing us the relevant information. We may have a separate display for media information, navigation, communication, whatever is required or wanted or convenient while you are in a car. And you have to have full control over lateral and longitudinal movements of the car. Basically meaning you have to steer, you have to have the steering wheel in your hands, and you have to have paddles to brake and to accelerate to bring the car to an appropriate speed. Level 1 are also the cars as we know them today. The HMI issue is, how do I activate the either longitudinal or lateral control of the vehicle? So how do I activate the lane keeping assistant or the advanced cruise control that I may have in a car? So is there, usually there are buttons on the steering wheel, they may be somewhere else. Very often you find a 2-level activation, meaning you need to activate the system by itself and then you need to set it to a certain speed. So there are different solutions out there for the activation, and you also need, which from my point of view is not very well solved in many cars, you need to indicate the activation of the system and the correct performance of the system to the driver. You may have some icon on the dashboard saying you are at cruise control is activated, or the lane keep assist is activated. But at the very end of the day, I think that there is room for improvement. We can be better in that. We can go on. But basically, from my point of view, the problem is recognized and it is more or less solved. Cars on level 2, those are the ones you can find every now and then out on our roads already. They will have a dashboard architecture and interior architecture as we know it today, so there will not be a radical change on level 2. Again, like on level 1, the function has to be activated in a way, in a 1 or 2 level interaction that you have. And you have to show the interaction, you have to show the activation of the function on the display. So this again is, I mean, there is one level 2 car I've been driving lately. There is one single button on the steering wheel. You activate that one, then you get a signal. All right, I have taken over. You can take the hands off the steering wheel, and then we have, I'm driving now. The car communicates that. So again, we need to design this in a proper way. We need to design the interaction in a proper way, but I don't see this as a rocket science. The problem that we have is that we need to communicate the mode the car is in. So we need to create a mode awareness. We have to tell the user, hey, I am driving, or hey, you need to drive. So what is the active mode? We need to communicate this to the driver. So we have basically 4 different scenarios that we have to have a closer look at. One is the car believes human is driving and the human believes I am driving. Then we have manual driving, no problem. Second scenario, the car believes I am driving and the human believes the car is driving. Also, no problem. Then we have automated driving. The car is performing basic tasks by itself and we can sit back and just watch the car working. Then we have the scenario that the car believes I am driving and the human believes I am driving, which is slightly critical, but in the automotive industry we have the rule that human always overrides machine. So we are back to manual driving, the car steps back and we have manual driving, normal manual driving. The critical one is the car believes the human is driving and the human believes the car is driving. Because then no one is driving. And this may lead to serious problems. So this is why I believe that the mode awareness, the communication of the mode the car is in, what tasks is the car performing and what is still on the driver's side, that is critical on level 2. The second big issue besides the mode awareness is the control of the driver. So we require on level 2 the driver to remain in the loop, to surveil the car all the time, to monitor all the activities, and then the driver is responsible for everything that's happening in there, and technology is not capable to solve any of these problems or all of the problems. Many, but not all of the problems. And so we need to find out, is the driver still involved in the driving task? Is he or she still attentive? There are various measures for this. One I was driving for quite a while is that you have to rattle on the steering wheel every 10 to 15 seconds. Which, to be honest, feels a little absurd. I mean, you have a car that is driving for you and you have to rattle the steering wheel every 10 to 15 seconds just to show that you are still alive, that you're still there, that you're still involved, that you're still in the monitoring mode. I mean, that is somehow ridiculous, right? There are others like driver monitoring systems that are under development, that will find its way into cars that some cars already have. So you check, are the eyes of the driver still open? Is he or she still looking at the road? That also is a very good thing. And if you find out that the driver is not monitoring the system anymore, then you will make a beep tone or rattle the seat or the safety belt, whatever. So we need to find out, is the driver still attentive or not? And by the way, if you have a look at all the accidents with autonomous cars that we have, it is, in as far as I understand it, almost every case that we have, the driver was not attentive. The driver was out of the control loop. And so these accidents shouldn't have happened. And the driver is required to remain in the control loop, but was not. And then these accidents with autonomous or, no, not autonomous, there it is, with automated cars on level 2, they happen because of the inattentiveness of the driver. Let's move on to level 3. For me, level 3 is the bottleneck of automated driving. If we do not solve level 3 properly, then the entire story may be dead sooner than we think. The cockpit architecture is still as we know it. So we will have a steering wheel, we have an instrument cluster, we may have separate displays for additional information, steering wheel, paddles, whatever is required to drive a car today will be in level 3 cars as well. You can turn on the automation. You can then go out of the control loop, do whatever you want to, and then you have to return back into the driving loop within a few seconds. And this moment, when the car recognizes, hey, I can't drive anymore, dear driver, it's your task in 3, 2, 1, now. This is the moment that I really fear. Because we have people that are busy checking mails on their smartphones, making a call, talking to the passengers, whatever, and they need to return into the driving loop and be able to drive, probably in a pretty complex situation. And I doubt that this is possible in the way we can imagine this. Because we need to build up, the driver needs to build up situation awareness. Situation awareness is a concept that comes out of aviation and describes, is the pilot, or in our case the driver, aware what is happening, what's going to happen next, where am I, where are all the others, and what is the dangerous point? And if you have a complex situation, this may take quite some time. So There is different research out there, and some of the researchers say it's no problem. You just honk the horn or give a beep tone or whatever, and drivers are right back in the driving task and can fully perform. Others say, in complex situations, you may need 60, maybe 120 seconds until you have a full situation awareness. I believe the truth is somewhere in the middle. But it is more than the 3 to 5 seconds we have defined for the handover on level 3. So what we need is, if we want to drive on level 3, we need to have a situation awareness creator. We need to support the driver with various HMI measures to create the situation awareness as fast as somehow possible. So we are having these 3 to 5 seconds and at least a basic idea of what's wrong, where are the others, where am I, and what's going to happen next needs to be created. And in this case, I am thinking about a holistic solution in the entire cockpit, including maybe head-up displays, including APLR displays, including active, interactive, illuminated trim parts that we have, so that the entire cockpit, the entire car helps the driver not only to be aware that there is something to do, but creating an awareness of what is to do. So we need to have this situation awareness creator on level 3, which will be a lot of HMI work, a lot of human machine interface design, a lot of UX UI design to deliver a valuable solution. Move on to level 4. The scenario level 4 is you have a level 4 car and it is solving 95-98% of all driving situations by itself. It takes you from Lisbon in Portugal to Helsinki in Finland. No problem on that. But there is still something, some situations, very low number of situations, but they exist, so-called edge cases, where the driver needs to take over. And the problem is, if the driver has to intervene, it is usually in complex situations, but you have not been driving for maybe a year or two or three because your car is so good that it does it almost all the time by itself. What I fear is the loss of competence in driving. Again, in aviation, we're discussing this a lot, that there is a loss of competence if pilots do not fly manually and aircrafts are fully automated. You just need to tell an aircraft, a modern aircraft, where to go, and then it starts, it takes off, it flies, and it lands by itself. But pilots need to go to a driving simulator, I think at least twice or three times a year, to fly manually, or they have to take over in an automated flight and fly manually in various contexts. So they avoid the loss of competence by this. Problem is, do we need to do this on level 4 cars as well? That we say, all right, guy, you have been driving 1 week now without driving by yourself. Now you need to drive 1 hour by yourself. Is that really what we want? Is that what a positive user experience is? So I have my doubts. And again, like on level 3, I don't have a final solution for this, but I see serious amounts of developmental work, of thinking, of design work that we need to perform. On level 5, we create a situation as we have it today in trains or in planes or on buses. You somehow enter the destination, maybe some special requests. I want to have a coffee break every 2 hours on my trip, or please do not drive faster than 30 kilometers per hour in urban areas, whatever you may want to have from the rolling robot as a service. Even the driving style, whatever, you need to input that, and then user just sit there and you can do whatever you want, like in a train or in a plane or in a bus that you're driving. Pull out your laptop, you can make phone calls, you can just sit there and watch out of the window. In a presentation on a conference yesterday, I heard that the number of people that just want to sit and watch out of the window is higher than we expect. Okay, why not? So the HMI problems, they become HMI problems or HMI issues, like we have them in any consumer device, on any PC, whatever. So that is a totally different area, a totally different field, has nothing to do with automotive HMIs anymore. One issue remains on level 5, which also occurs on level 4 and partially on level 3, that is motion sickness. So we have to handle motion sickness. There is a serious number of people that get motion sick in cars when they do not have the control. And at the moment, I am kicking off a research project together with a high number of companies and universities where we use artificial intelligence to minimize motion sickness. And again, we will have quite some research work to do on how we will show it, what kind of HMI is required. But that is one of the few problems, HMI problems, that is left on level 5. Okay, so far so good on the HMI issues on different levels of automated driving. A few remarks at the very end. The time frame is completely open. When we will have autonomous driving beyond level 2 on the roads. I mean, we have level 0 since 100 years, level 1 since 20, 25 years. Level 2 is the latest, greatest stuff that we have. Many OEMs claim basically their technology is ready for level 3. I believe this. There are still a couple of legal things to be solved, but at the end of the day, we are at the moment between level 2 and level 3. Level 5 was forecasted for 2025, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I don't believe it, at least not in as a fully autonomous driving from A to B, from any A point to any point B. This will not be possible in 5 years from now or in 4 years from now. But I think we will stick with level 2 and level 3 for longer than we expect it today, or even longer than we expected it in the past. One of the problems is that the benefits of level 2 and 3 or higher levels are not in proportion to the cost that you have. The technology that you need for, let's say, level 3 autonomous driving are somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 euros / dollars / pounds. So people with all the problems that are still involved with the automated driving will not be ready to pay this, not to a larger extent. And so from my point of view, this is another point, besides all the technological issues that we have, is the cost. At the end of the day, are people seeing the value of automated driving, and are they ready to pay for this? At the moment, 95% of all driving situations can be covered. Maybe it's 98, maybe it's a little more. Don't drill me down to a single figure, but there are a few situations left, 5%, 2% of all driving situations that are really hard to solve. Those are the so-called edge cases, very seldom, but they all may turn out very critical. And so for the first 95%, we have solutions, and then we need to think, how can we solve the final 4.999% of all the driving tasks? And this, from my point of view, will take enormous amounts in technology, in development, in testing. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but I don't see it happening in the next very few years. There are, of course, advantages of automated driving, and even more of autonomous driving. We will have fewer accidents. We have a lot of more people that are flexible and mobile, that will remain mobile. I think about elderly people, or my youngest son, as you may know, is mentally handicapped. And if he had the chance to just call an autonomous car and drive from A to B, I mean, he will never have a driving license. But he would be able to gain a certain amount of mobility. That would be great. That's a big advantage of autonomous traffics. Plus that we have higher energy efficiency, better use of roads. But that is in the level 4 and beyond. And that is when we have a large amount of people have automated cars, and that these cars communicate with each other. Well, that's worth a different episode of the Human Technology Podcast. All right, and there is the desire to drive. People want to drive. They love to drive. So I'm pretty much of a petrol head, and I love my Harley Davidson, and I love to drive, and I want to have the chance to take over and say, hey, I want to drive now. I mean, this is what I what I'm into, and this is what I love. And if you have a beautiful route like the Highway 1 in California, I love to drive there by myself, because driving is a cool thing, and I love to do it. And so we need to think how we catch up with that, how we do this. And of course, when I'm standing in a traffic jam or drive through a traffic jammed Berlin downtown area, I think, hey, it would be great if the car is driving. Why not? Right? I mean, yeah, so somewhere in the middle, as always, there might be the optimum. And a final point on HMIs and automated driving is that humans distrust machines. So there's a lot of discussion about trust and automated driving, or trust and autonomous driving. And we have both overtrust and undertrust. And people tend to undertrust technology, particularly if they had a bad experience with that. And there are nice studies out there. I remember one of Volvo. They found out you need about an hour to build trust in an autonomous car. And then within seconds, it's destroyed if something goes wrong or if there something unexpected happens. And then you need even longer time to build it up. There's this distrust in people and technology. And all this combined, the desire to drive, this distrust, the high prices, the edge cases we cannot cover today, this combination will lead to the fact that autonomous driving may take longer until it's realized than we think today. All right, let's summarize this podcast. We have 6 levels of automation according to SAE. Each of these levels describes a different relationship between humans and cars, between humans and rolling robots. It describes the different division of tasks, different allocation of tasks between the human and the machine. Each of these levels has specific requirements for vehicle HMIs, for interiors, for the design of interactions, UX and UI design, and the entire user experience. Level 2 is reality today. It is like an advanced driver assistance systems. You need to remain in the loop, but the car is performing certain driving tasks by itself, automatically. It is unclear how and when higher levels will come. I discussed this. There is a desire to drive. There is distrust. There is the price issue. So we do not know when we will have level 4 and level 5 in a serious amount of vehicles on public roads. And at the very end, I have to be honest, I'm not really clear whether I want to have higher levels of automated driving. As I said, I'm a petrolhead. I love to drive. And so for myself, I don't see the need for anything beyond level 2 or level 3. Did you like this episode? Then you may recommend it to persons in your network that may also be like, and they may also like it, and they will also benefit from this podcast. So if everyone recommends one other listener every week, we get an exponential growth of listeners. And we all know, we all learned in the pandemic exponential growth means. And so we can move a lot. The more listeners I have, the better the podcast is ranked on the various platforms, and more potential listeners will be aware of it. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.